I believe that the Word of God was given to us to show us how we are to live. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a message with you called Standard and Guide. This book was written that it would be our standard. It would be our guide to show us how to navigate through life. Last week, we talked about how that it was written that you might believe. Every time you read it, you ought to look at it in that light, that this was written that I might believe. But here's what happens when you really believe. When you really believe the word of the Lord, then you obey the word of the Lord. Then you want to do what it says. The reason that a lot of people have such a hard time obeying the word of God, well, they just don't really believe. And I'm telling you this morning that in our lives, so often our obedience to the word of God is the key to the blessing of God on our life. It is the key to seeing miracles happen in our life. It is the key to the freedom that He wants us to have in our life. It's the key to the victory that we're supposed to have each and every day of our life. I love this verse from Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. What a great verse. That if we're just willing to obey God, we're going to enjoy the best. We're going to enjoy God's goodness in our life each and every day. Now, if you read that whole passage, you'll see it doesn't go so well for those who are not willing. But if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. It's amazing how sometimes people get the attitude that certain ones are blessed just because God likes them better. You know, certain ones, they just, you know, they're God's favorites. And anybody ever feel like, well, I'm not one of those? And you know what? Here's the problem with that is that He's no respecter of persons. In other words, the blessings of God are available to all of us. But here's what we need to remember is that we're blessed when we hear the word of God and we obey it. You say, well, preacher, that's not what I believe. Let me just tell you what Jesus said, because it doesn't matter what I think. What really matters is what Jesus says. Amen? And here's what He says in Luke 11:27-28. He says, "And it happened as He spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you.' But He said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" This is Jesus speaking. And certainly His mother Mary was blessed. But Jesus says, rather, even more, are those blessed who hear the word of God and do it. You know what? A lot of people aren't walking and experiencing the blessings of God in their life just because they don't even know what they are. They don't even know what the commands of the Lord are, what the word of God says. He says, blessed are those who hear it and do it. And it's so clear here that there are blessings that come on our life when our Christianity becomes real and we are walking in obedience to Jesus and doing what He says and doing what He teaches. Some people want to say, well, you know, all that obedience stuff, oh, that's all under the law. None of that stuff really matters anymore. There's this pop theology of the day that, you know, all the blessings are automatic and it doesn't really matter if you really obey God. This is Jesus speaking. And He says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I realize that there are some who have become so deceived that they think that even the teachings of Jesus don't apply to us. Now, they use them when they want them, but they decide, you know, any passages, any teachings of Jesus they don't like, they say, oh, well, that was before the cross, and so that doesn't apply to me. I remember one time I was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and there were certain things in there that one man that was listening in the service, he didn't like. And so he confronted me after the service. He stuck his finger in my face and he says, that's not even for us. That's only for the Jews. Deceived. I believe that the teachings of Jesus are for me. I believe that everything that my Savior said was written for me that I might believe, but also that I might walk in obedience to him. You know, when I think about being a disciple, Jesus said that the disciple who is fully trained becomes like the master. How could we ever even begin to become like Jesus if we don't obey the teachings of Jesus? And oh, what blessing comes on our life when we just obey the teachings of Jesus. It's amazing how people have such a hard time with this. They think that obedience and following the scripture and doing what it says, well, you're just making a bunch of rules, and you know, that's just putting a burden on me, and that's just binding me up. I want to be free. Let me tell you something. This old world will bind you up. Living for yourself will bind you up and enslave you. Jesus said, if we continue in his word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You see, it's when we really live according to the word of God, that's when you find real freedom. That's where the victory is. That's where the joy is. This is what he wants for us. You know, it's amazing how in both the Old Testament and in the New, there are things that are labeled as commands. Commands. But even the rest of Scripture, even though it may not have the word in every verse, this is a command or a commandment, we understand that it reveals to us the will of God, that it teaches us how God wants us to live and what would please the Lord in our life. And yet so many people take it all as optional. There's something in our human nature, that old sinful nature, that we don't want anybody else to tell us what to do. Seen a whole lot of that lately. We don't want anybody else to tell us what to do. You know what? It starts really early, about 2 years old. I mean, about 2 years old, they figure out that they have their own will. They figure out that they're their own person. And they don't like you telling them what to do. Anybody ever heard of the terrible twos? Yeah. Sometimes it hits about three. But somewhere along in there, you're going to deal with, you ask them, you tell them to do something, and they say, no. You tell them not to do something, and they say no, right? But I'm just telling you, there's that attitude. I want to be my own person. I'm my own man. And you know what? It doesn't go away just because we get older. It just shows up in a little bit different way. But there's this attitude, and it's even in the church. It just kind of goes along with kind of the pop theology of the day that, you know, you do what you want. But the truth is that when we call him Lord, we gave up that right. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? The truth is that when we receive the forgiveness that was purchased by his precious blood and his life on the cross, that we were bought at a price and we are no longer our own. We belong to him. I'm not my own man. I can do what I want. No, it's not like that anymore. We belong to him. Galatians 2:20 is a really powerful verse. It describes what the Christian life is supposed to be like, and certainly doesn't go along with a lot of the pop theology of the day, but here's what it says. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Not I can do what I want. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ living in me, making Jesus the Lord of your life means that you submit your will to him. you submit your life to him, to obey what he says. You know, Jesus taught us to pray this way: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way we're supposed to pray. That's what we should be believing for. But understand this: in this time that we live in, the kingdom is not coming in a government rule. I know a lot of believers want that. They wanted the same thing in Jesus' time when they tried to take him and make him their king, and he wouldn't have any part of it because he said, my kingdom is not of this world. There's coming a day in a 1,000-year reign when Jesus and his kingdom will be set up here on this earth. But for now, his kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God reigns in his people. That's the way it's supposed to be. And what that means is that Jesus, the King, rules and reigns in our life. You see, this gospel that it doesn't matter how you live, that is a false teaching. It is a false doctrine. It matters whether or not you submit your life to King Jesus and live your life the way that he wants you to, the way that he says to. You know, one of the things that we as believers like to do is, it makes us feel better. You know what? We all know this. People that like to put other people down, they're really just trying to put themselves up. But sometimes we as believers, we have this mentality and we do this with the world where we point the finger at them and we want to talk about how bad it is. It's bad, amen? I mean, there's so much terrible things going on in our world. Anybody say amen? That's absolutely true. But a lot of the time, you see, we like to point the finger at the world or at backslidden people and say, man, they're doing wrong. You're bad. Well, you shouldn't be doing that. What did Jesus say about judging others? He says, you need to remove the plank in your own eye. And here's the thing. A lot of the time, when we're wanting to point out the faults of the world, we ourselves have things in our life where we're not really obeying the word of God. And somehow we rationalize and we say, well, that's just a little thing. That's no big thing. These people, they're living in bad sin. You know what? They hadn't bowed the knee to Jesus. How about us? Have we bowed the knee to Jesus? And if we have, we don't get to say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as them. No. It's such a huge stumbling block to the world and to people getting saved when we play the hypocrite. When we know there's areas of our life where we're not obeying God. And here's the thing, they know. We need to obey the word of the Lord. We need to stop this silly thing, this deception, like it doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you do. I'm telling you that Jesus wants your whole heart. So much of the teaching of Jesus goes beyond just do this or don't do that. He deals with the heart. But you need to understand this about obedience. It really is a heart issue. And I want you to see this, and we've mentioned this recently, but I want you to see this. Anytime we're not doing right, we're not obeying the Lord, our hearts are not right. Y'all, they're way too quiet. I guess it's hitting home. But if you agree with the word that I'm going to preach right now, I'm going to share these scriptures, just say amen when I give you one. Here it goes, John 14:15, the words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Amen. That's right. If you love me, you keep my commandments. See, I hear people saying, oh, I love Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter really what I do, how I do. I love Jesus. No, you don't. If you love Jesus, you keep his commands. You know how I know that? He said so. He says in John 14:21, 6 verses later, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. See, I'm not judging anybody. The word judges us. It's the people that have his commands and keep them. They're the ones that love Jesus, not the people there's a lot of people, they like Jesus. They got an affinity for Jesus. Jesus is cool. Jesus is nice. I mean, they don't love him. Because if you love him, you keep his commandments. Verse 23, same chapter. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So we got to do away with this mentality that it's okay to just not obey. It's a heart issue. Our hearts are not right if we're not walking in obedience to the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of God's word. It is simple as that. If we love him, we obey him. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I don't misunderstand. He's not saying that it's wrong to say I love you to somebody else or to say I love you to God. We certainly should do that. But he's saying it has to be more than that. It has to be in our actions and in our a real thing, something that's truth. Not just something that we say, but we're walking it out. We're living that out in our life. That we're always wanting to do what Jesus says. We always want to please him in everything that we do. It's amazing how too often people look for a way around the Word of God. And they fail to really obey the Lord in their life. Some people think, it's just so hard to obey God. And I'm going to give you this. I know. Sometimes it's hard to do what God wants you to do. Sometimes it's hard when you know what's right, just to do what you know is right. Sometimes, especially when you're going against the crowd, it's hard to do what you know is right. But here's the thing. In the end, it's a whole lot harder when you don't obey God. And here's what the scripture says. You see, now, we need to renew our minds with the word of God. We need to change the way we think. We need to change our attitude about some things this morning. And here's the verse, 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Let's talk about the love of God. Let's simplify. We keep his commandments. We just do what God wants us to do. We keep his word. We apply it in our life and we do it. We don't make excuses and justifications, rationalizations. We keep his commandments. This is the love of God. And his commandments are not burdensome. Anybody ever felt like they were burdensome? I have. But here's what the scripture says. His commandments are not burdensome. And so we need to focus on the fact that we love Jesus and we're going to obey him. It's not a drudgery. We're not going to allow ourselves to think, ooh, it's so hard to obey the scripture. No, instead, we're going to do it with joy because we do it because we love him. I love you, Jesus. I have it so good. My wife just does anything she can to help me and to please me. And I would just go to hell and back for her. Shouldn't all of us be that way about Jesus? What he's done for us, his commands are not burdensome. And here's the thing. His commands are for our good. A lot of the time, we may not see it in the moment, but his commands, if we'll obey them, if we'll keep them, it'll bring blessing on our life. It'll bring miracles. It'll bring victories in our life. It'll bring peace. It'll bring joy. It's just so strange how obedience has been cast as something that's optional today. You see, obedience is just part of the gospel. This is part of what we should be preaching and teaching all the time. We don't need to water it down. We don't need to soft pedal Jesus. We don't need to try to con people to come to the Lord. Listen, we need to tell people the truth, that when you come to Jesus, you turn your life over to Jesus. You can't do it your way and walk with Jesus. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. Listen to what he says. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. Listen, he says, make disciples. This is part of our vision. Our vision is not just to preach the gospel, but we want to make disciples. We want to see people following the Lord, really living for God, making a difference in this world. And he says, teach them to observe all the things I have commanded you. This is part of the gospel that we preach, that we observe, that we obey the things that Jesus taught us. Obedience is just played off as an option, but really, it's an obligation. It's something, listen, we owe him that. It's an obligation to everybody who calls him Lord. And when we do that, when we walk in obedience to God, oh, how it opens the opportunities for blessings and miracles, and God moves and works in our life. You know, when you read the Bible, there are so many great promises, but a lot of those promises have a condition. There's something that you are supposed to do in order for that promise to be true in your life and for that to come to pass. And we need to understand this, that many times God will tell us to do something, whether it's in his written word or he speaks to us personally. You see, when Jesus turns the water into wine, Mary says to the servants, she says, whatever he says to you, do it. What if Jesus said, fill the water pots with water? And they say, well, that sounds like a lot of work for nothing. We don't need more water. We need wine. But we got a reason why we're not doing that. No, they just did it. And Jesus did a miracle. Jesus tells Peter, cast the net on the other side of the boat. And Peter does it. And it's a great catch of fish, a miracle. Jesus says to the man with a withered hand, stretch forth your hand. This deformed hand. What if he said, no, I don't want everybody to see? He would have missed a miracle. But he obeyed the simple word of Jesus. He stretched forth his hand and he was healed. We talked about the man who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And you know what he did? He got up, picked up his bed, and he walked. We ought to be willing to obey the word of the Lord. Noah, build an ark. Listen, it didn't rain that year. There was no flood that year. It didn't come the next year or the next year or the next year. It was somewhere between 80 and 100 years before the flood came. But he built that ark. I'm just telling you, we got to be willing to obey God if we want to see the miracles and the blessings of God, the victories that God has for us. They don't come if we're not willing to obey. Abraham takes his only son, Isaac. He is willing to do the unthinkable and offer his son as a sacrifice to God. He was willing and obedient. Now, the Lord stopped him. But you see, he was willing and obedient. And God so blessed him that we in the church today are blessed by Abraham. All the world has been blessed through Abraham. But you see, he was willing and obedient to the word of the Lord. And if we would just be willing and obedient, oh, how we'll see the blessings of God on our life each and every day. If we'll just give when he says give, if we'll just speak when he says speak, if we'll just go when he says to go, if we'll just do what he says to do. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to James 1:21. We're going to read five verses there, James 1:21. We're going to be here for a few minutes. We're going to just read through it first, and then we'll work our way through it. It says, therefore, lay aside all the filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And you see, this is as New Testament as you can get. I mean, we're in the last part of the New Testament. And he says, this one, which one? The one who does the word of God. This one will be blessed in what he does. Oh, man. Some people are thinking, you know what? I think I like that other gospel better where, you know, God just blesses us anyway. Doesn't matter how we live or what we do, whether or not we really obey. You know what? That's not real. That's not true. And that's why so many people are missing out on many of the blessings of God, the peace, the joy, the victory that God has for them. This one is blessed in what he does. First, he says that we got to accept the word. We got to receive with meekness the implanted word. You know, I think some people's idea is, well, you know what? I don't want to hear the word of God. That way I don't have to do it. That's not a good option, because I want to tell you the blessing comes when you hear it and you do it. But you got to receive with meekness that implanted word. It's receive with humility. If we're prideful, if we think we already know everything, we're not teachable. No, we got to be willing to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, sometimes when people are talking about reaching the lost, they say saving souls. That's not really accurate. James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was not writing to the lost here. He's writing to born-again Christians, his brothers in the Lord. When he says saving your souls, he's talking about your mind, will, and emotion. He's not talking about being born of the Spirit and the Word of God. We receive it with meekness. We receive it humbly because it is able to transform, to make whole, to heal our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Receive with meekness the engrafted, the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. Put away, he says, all that evil stuff in this world. And instead, receive with meekness the implanted word. Humbly accept his word in your life. Every time you read it, every time you hear it, you humbly accept his word in your life. We got to be teachable to receive. And as we are receiving of the Word of God, and we are willing to obey the Word of God, we're willing to walk in the truth we know, then God gives us more. You see this principle in the parable of the talents, where Jesus gave out a certain amount to three different men, and two of them used what they had, and he gave them more. And one of them didn't use what he had, and Jesus said, the one that does not have even what he has shall be taken away. You see, if we don't walk in the truth that we already have, God's not going to reveal more to us. But it's when we walk in that truth that he continues to open our eyes and cause us to understand spiritual truth. Verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Oh, doing the word. Such a key to blessing. And we'll come back to that again in verse 25. But think about this. You know what? It's one thing when somebody else deceives you. Anybody ever been deceived by somebody? Man, I think I'm pretty hard to fool, but I have been really fooled a few times. But it's another different thing, a whole different thing when you deceive yourself. Anytime we don't do what the Word says, we hear it, but we don't do it, we're deceiving ourselves. And usually when people disobey God's Word, there's something messed up in their thinking. They've been deceived in some way. They think their situation is different, their rules don't apply to them. One guy, he decided that he was going to go on a diet. Other people he knew had had success with this diet, and so he decided he was going to do the diet, but he wanted to adjust the rules just a little bit so it would work better for him. And here's a few of the rules that he decided that would work for him. First of all, if you drink a diet soda and eat a candy bar, they cancel each other out. Amen? Some of you have tried that. Yeah. If you have a strong craving for a particular food, like chocolate, ladies, or Mexican food, hello, that should be everybody. Listen, it's okay because God gave you those cravings. He made you that way, right? Number three, if you see slim people eating something, well, then it must be okay. It must be one of those superfoods that if you eat that, it's going to cause you to lose weight. Fourth, cookie pieces contain no significant calorie because breakage contributes to calorie leakage. And each individual little broken piece has almost no calories. And fifth and best of all, after several hours of being good, you deserve a reward, a treat, like a cake, a pie, or a cow. I feel that way sometimes. But the amazing thing is that then when it doesn't work, he wonders why. It's not fair. Life's just not fair. It worked for them. Why does it work for me? And he decides it must just be bad genes. Some people are lucky and I'm not. Sounds like a lot of the way a lot of people treat the principles of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus. Goes something like this. A diet soda, candy bar cancel each other out. Well, I did something that I shouldn't have done. But hey, I did something good too. Oh, this is real popular among religious people. And believe me, America is very religious. Well, I know I've done a lot of bad things, but I've done more good than bad. This idea of doing penance that somehow, well, I'm not obeying God here, but, you know, I'm obeying God in these areas, so that's okay. Cancels out blessings. It's okay to give in to strong craving because God gave me those desires. Oh, how I've heard that one over the years. God made me this way, so it's okay. No, that's that old sinful nature. He's created you to be a new creation in Christ. Slim people eat it, so it must be okay. It goes like this. Well, everybody else is doing it. I mean, even people at church are doing it. Well, they're a believer. And they didn't do that, so it must be okay not to do that. Cookie pieces are so small, they're insignificant. I mean, it's not like I committed some big sin. It's just a little bitty lie. Or, you know what? It's a small little thing. So I gossiped about somebody. But at least I wasn't the one that committed adultery. I just said something about it. Little sins. Well, those are okay. How about the last one? After being good, you deserve a treat. You haven't lost your temper in a long time. Just go ahead and let somebody have it. Oh, we laugh, but the truth is, is that a lot of the time we fall into these deceptions where there's some kind of a reasoning that we think it's okay for us to not obey and not do what God said. Even the last one. We've been obeying for a while. It's okay if we miss it here. No, we want to obey Him all the time. It's amazing how we don't understand then when things don't go right. When everything's falling apart, and why it works for others, but it didn't work for me. And we're not talking about a diet. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about living for God. Don't misunderstand me. Even when you obey the Word of the Lord, we all have battles. We all have struggles. We still face challenges. I read in 1 Peter where there's persecution that Christians suffer. But here's the thing. When we obey God, it opens the door for the blessings of God, for victory, for freedom, for miracles. Here's another deception that a lot of people fall into. They kind of obey. Kind of obey. That's like kind of pregnant. You either are or you're not. You know, it's that thing of partial obedience. Partial obedience is not obedience. That's disobedience. And I'll remind you again of the story we told about Saul and how he did, King Saul, and how he didn't obey God, but he tried to pretend like he did. It was partial obedience. Well, we killed most of the stuff, got rid of most of it, and the rest we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice. God wants our total obedience, not partial, not kind of, sort of. Another big deception is conditional obedience. And a lot of people fall into this. You know, they want to obey God or serve the Lord when it's convenient for them, when it works for them, when they see how that they're going to get a return, how that this is good, you know, that I can see that directly right now there's going to be some benefit to me. But here's what you need to understand. Anytime that you obey God, there's a benefit to you. Anytime that you obey God, you're bringing blessings on your life. It's a deception. When we start thinking that it's up to us to decide, like it's a conditional thing. No, we just give God our unreserved, our absolute obedience. Verse 23 says, if anyone is a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You see, when we look into the Word of God, we see who we're supposed to be. It is like a mirror, but it's not just showing you who you are. It's showing you who you are in Christ and the life that you're supposed to live. It is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But if we just take a glance at it and then just walk away from it, so often we forget. We become a forgetful hearer, and we don't follow through with our obedience to the Lord. One translation says that you got to look intently. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I just want you to understand, you got to keep your eyes on it. Keep your eyes on the promise, but also keep your eyes on the command. You got to get it down inside of you. It reminds me of Joshua 1:8, where the Lord says, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Then you will observe to do according to all that's written therein, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, if we keep the word of the Lord in our mouth and we're thinking about it all the time, day and night, he said, it's not so hard to observe to do it. But when we just have a quick glance at it, it's so easy for us to walk away and just lay it aside and not follow through with what God wants us to do in obedience. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. See, it's when we intently look into it. You continue, not just a quick once over, but you meditate on it. You go over it and over it and over it. You get it down inside of you. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does. This one is blessed in what he does. That's what we want. We want to see the blessing of God on our life. Oh, how we need to be diligent to stay in the Word until we remember what it says, so we'll live it out in our life each and every day. No excuses, not looking for an out, but that we're delighting to obey the Lord in everything. We want to show him our love by the way that we're living each and every day, living for him, bringing glory and honor to him. This one is blessed in what he does. I want you to stand with me.